I love this game.
I love it.
I really love this game.
I love it. I love it.
I love this game.
I love it.
I really love this game.
Well, there ain't never been a game.
Yeah, NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. You should be. It's Monday, May 6th. May the 6th be with you. Wait, that doesn't work. I'm your host, James Clements. You can see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA, the official AFL Supercoach podcast, the AFL Today Show, all the good stuff here in Larry Armour Studios. Very, very tired. Why is that, Jim? I don't know, because I was up at 4 a.m. watching the basketball, wasn't I? That's right, we had an Elimination Monday, but round two is also underway. Ant-Man is a legit superstar. Darvin Ham became the latest Lakers coach fired. I'm going to talk about that in a second. We've also got a huge bunch of game wraps for you from the weekend. As the Clippers got eliminated, we saw Cleveland get past the Magic. Denver in trouble. It's all going on. So I'll break all that down. We'll do that. It's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball. Get some Yanazi. I'm probably a bit of the day. You're now back. Take us. Where we're serving up a flame grilled steak. Because we're in the studio as well. We might do a magic tweet of the day, which is always fun. There is an Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence as well. And we'll pick and preview the two awesome games for tomorrow. That's going to be really fun. So I think we'll finish up with a Delhi review. I think Delhi finished watching Shogun. So we'll do that. All right, let's get into it. Episode 1090 of NBA Australia. Oh, let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Whoa, you better. Well, you better watch out for the Dirk attack because we had Dirk instead of Shaq on the weekend. It's kind of fun. I love Dirk Duncan Vision. Dirk is a fascinating dude. I love Dirk. You know, just grew up watching a bunch of Dirk, loving Dirk Nowitzki. He has really, really good thoughts on basketball, but still hasn't broken out of the, hey, man, they're just going to try a lot harder kind of vibe, right, of analysis. Every time he pops on inside the NBA, I'm like, this is great, and I need more Dirk insight. And then the insight is quite fleeting, but it was still good. Talking about Foxy Brown and stuff with Chuck and co, that was good. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here in NBA Australia. I believe it's with some sort of daily. Oh, it's a whip around. Darvin Ham! He's out. Fired by LeBron. I mean, the Lakers. That's right, the Lakers. LeBron doesn't run the Lakers. Still, amazing. Good job by Darvin Ham, though. 2 years, went 90-74 during the regular season, 9-12 in the postseason. Couple of play-ins. Becomes the first ever NBA coach to be fired after winning the in-season tournament. Darvin Ham, you legend. He is also the first Lakers coach to be fired after making the playoffs since Phil Jackson. But the most striking thing to me in the Darvin Ham saga is that he is the sixth coach to be fired by the Lakers since Phil Jackson. Six in 13 years. How do you build a culture? How do you build accountability? How do you build a system when you've gone through Mike Brown, Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott? Remember that? Jeez. Luke Walton, Frankie Vogues, who got the arse after taking to a title. Darvin Ham now as well. That's six. Absolute chaos. They also fired the rest of the coaching staff, including Phil Handy, who has been with, like, what, Darvin Ham and Frank Vogel, and had been with LeBron James in Cleveland. That's right.
Cleveland!
Remember that? So, poor one out for Darvin Ham. People have varying ideas as to whether or not he's a good coach. I would argue he had a bit of a very solid player's understanding of the way to get his dudes playing hard-ish, but the acumen outside of that was pretty clearly lacking, right? to the point where LeBron's like chucking hissy fits on the side, and it feels like the adjustments throughout some of their series were, again, lacking. Anyway, so it seems like they're going to look at the likes of Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, JJ Redick, that'd be hilarious, and Ty Lue, if the Clippers just pull the pin on the entire thing, which they probably ought to at this point, but they can't. Sucked in, Clippers. So Ty Lue being on the Lakers would be the funniest. JJ Redick going in there and like going, hey, LeBron, how good's our podcast? Also, now I'm your coach. He's like, nah, you're fired. He's like, ah, man, didn't even coach a game. Anyway, fare thee well, Dovenham. We barely knew thee. But you won the in-season tournament. Hang the banner. Maxi Kleber, hello. He's out. I don't know if you saw his fall to the ground, but you're just one of those falls where you're like, oh, man, gravity sucks. Maxi Kleber went up, was driving to the bucket. One of those moments where you're like, yeah, taking charges and, I don't know, the idea of block or charge comes into question. We're like, I feel like, again, we need to widen. This has been a long-standing NBA Australia vibe. We need to make the restricted area way bigger so you can't be like taking a charge. Like, as someone is essentially already getting in the air, it's wildly stupid and dangerous. Just make... this is the easiest fix in the world as well. We just make the charge circle bigger. Simple as that, and it's done. Anyway, Maxi Kleber goes up, gets undercut, and just slams his shoulder into the floor. So third-degree dislocation of the AC joint of his right shoulder. He's probably done for the rest of the playoffs. Sort of sucks for the Mavs, right? Because, yeah, Maxi Kleber, he's not a wildly impactful player, but every time the Mavs put him in, they have to pay attention to what he can do. And he's a different look, and that's the key part for the Mavs, isn't it? It's like you've got the D Lively, the D Gafford vibes, where you're just like, we're going to play some D with one of our big Ds. We all have big Ds. Hooray! Big Ds for everybody. And then Maxi Kleber's like, come on, I'm on the floor. Remember how's yours, how's his Germans out here shooting the ball very nicely, us here for the Mavericks. And he just gave them a really different look. And he did hit some big threes. Obviously, was that game five? Game six? Whatever. Where he was just lacing threes. And you're like, oh, that was game five, I think. Amazing. So that stinks. Fingers crossed for the big German. Lonzo Ball! I love this. Can we fire up the... Oh, damn! Machine. He picked up the $21.4 million player option on his contract. Oh, duh. Why is that, Jim? Ah, because he hasn't played for 2 years. I haven't played in the NBA for 2 years either. I, too, would like a $21.4 million player option for next year that I would definitely pick up. Three surgeries on his left knee. The most recently was a cartilage transplant. There's guarded hope that he'll return next season, but there's no assurances. Yeah. That sucks. And this is why it's always a kick in the dick doing the better than Lonzo Ball, because his career could just be over. And it sucks. He's 26. What a world. What a world. I'll tell you what. BBOA.
See me posted with the fam. See me posted with the brand. Y'all just do it for the gram. And we do it for the fam. BBOA. BBOA.
Ah, pour one out for Lonzo. Right, let's do some game wraps. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps! That's right, we had some game sixes on Saturday. Cleveland, oh geez.
Cleveland!
They lost to Orlando in game six, 103-96. This game was sick. Donny Mitchell had 50. Great comeback by the Magic to force game seven. But the Magic just sort of pulled the rug out under them in the fourth quarter, ran over the top of them, and away you went. You're like, ah, got them. It was pretty crazy. It was a really, this was a much more sort of tempered game than the one we saw today. Like, Donny Mitchell dropping 50. Palabancaro had 27-8. And you're kind of looking around going, Darius Garland had 21-7-5. No one else did anything for the Cavs. Cleveland, they shot 7-28 from downtown. Whereas for the Magic men, they got 27 from Paolo. They got 26 from Franz Wagner. Hello. And 6 threes from Jalen Suggs. Boy, did that turn today. Because Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs could not buy a bucket. That's how that went today. Either way, look, they forced game seven, did Orlando, and that basically kept up the simple idea that everyone in that series was just going to win the home games, and that's what happened. Then we had Clippers, Dallas. I'm going to dig into game seven of Magic Cavs in a second. Anyway, Clippers, Dallas, game six. Amazing statement game on the Mavs. And if you're a Mavs fan, you're going to be watching this going, thank God. Just, it'd be more of a relief than anything. They led by two at the half, and Harden came out. He got like a layup, and it's like a 52-52 tie. But then Luka hit a three, and he hadn't hit a three all game. That was the only three he hit all game as well. He ends up 1 of 10. But then they force an LA turnover, so Clippers turn it over. Kyrie hits a super, super clean three as well, right? And so Dallas had been up 13 in the second quarter, had lost it completely, and they were back up 8 all of a sudden again. They outscored them 35-20 in the third quarter. After Kyrie had 2 points in the first half, he dropped 28 in the second half. Absolute chaos. They hit every shot, it felt like, in the third quarter. And he was sort of sitting there going, waiting for the Clippers comeback. Ah, no. It was pretty nuts. He had a 4-point play. Did Kyrie hit this 3-pointer, and PJ Tucker also hit him at the same time. I think they got up like 24 at that point. You're like, I think they're going to be okay. Clippers had an 11-2 run to get within 13, but they never really sort of got it rolling. And that might have been the most important aspect of this, right? And the announcers were banging on about it all game. Oh, you know, the most amazing thing about this Dallas team is this, their defense is doing it all. It's like, yes, in wins. Because they turn into Alice when it comes to losses. And I feel like if you're going to hang your hat on defense, you've got to do it at least vaguely consistently? Question mark. But so they win this 114-101. Kyrie goes off. They're like applauding his defensive effort. And I love this as well because it's literally just effort was what he was doing. He's like, I'm going to make James Harden work. And James Harden's like, ah, fuck this. I don't want any bar of this at all. I'm James Harden. You know how many different clubs I have to go to tonight? I've got at least 9 strippers that I need to put through college tonight. Like, I just can't. Fuck it. Game six. We're in Dallas. I've got to get on a plane, my private jet, go down to Houston, and I've just got a lot on my plate, including wings. Fat man who barely clan. That's right. Either way, this is a really, really good win for Dallas. The Clippers, look. They stink. Without Kawhi, they went 8 of 31 from downtown. They shot 41% from the floor. PG had 18 points. Playoff poo! Ha. Oh, geez, they think I don't show up for the playoffs. He had 18 points on 6 of 18 shooting. Now, I'm no math magician, but 6 of 18 is fucking shit! 2 of 10 from downtown. He had 11 rebounds, a couple of turnovers, 5 assists. Harden was horrible as well. 5 of 16 shooting. Again, no math scientist, but that's even worse than shit than Paul George. So 16 points on 16 shots, 5 of 16 shooting. J'ai brutal. 0 of 6 completely from downtown for Harden as well. 13 assists, 7 rebounds, 17-11 for Zoobs. He was all right. 20 for Norm off the bench. 14-6-3 for T-Man. That was a little bit too late. Too little too late from T-Man. And Rusty, it felt like Westbrook was the mole. There's like stories coming out about how he actually didn't want to come off the bench as they'd sort of floated out during the season. Oh, you know that Russell is just such a good teammate. He came to them and was like, you should bring me off the bench. And then it comes out, it's like, yeah, that didn't happen. And then Rusty came out again after the series. Like, it's everything you read about me is bullshit. If it didn't come from me, you can't trust it. It's like, sure. And you seem like a really trustworthy source as well, Russell. You seem very, you know, very level-headed. You definitely don't lose it when people call you Westbrook or anything. Like, that's definitely the sign of, like, a sane person, you know? Not going off your rocker when someone, like, has a play on words with your name. Just saying. The Mavs went 12-36 from downtown, 1 of 10 of which were from Luka. But he still ends up with 28, 7, and 13 assists. He was awesome. Making them work on defense. He was doing a little bit of work on defense as well, but Kyrie was the story for me in this one. 30 points, 11 to 19 from the floor. But his chat after the game, his post-game comments, you're like, hang on, I've spent the last 5 years shit-talking Kyrie Irving, and that was a very, very good post-game commentary spot. He was gregarious without being arrogant. He was very nice to his teammates. He said all the right things. You're like, fucking hell, Dallas might win the title if he's going to be like this. But lurking in the back of your mind, you're just like, he's going to do something, isn't he? He's just going to do or say something. But if he stays on his best behavior, holy shit. He went 5-9 from downtown, 6 boards, 4 dimes. PJ Hamilton Washington went 14-5, 13-6 for Gafford, 10-9 for Derek Lively. If you're going to get a combined 23-15 from your two pivots, you love that. Josh Greeny-Green had 7 points, 4 rebounds and assist. He was awesome. It's like, yes, Jason Kidd, if you play Josh Green more, you win. Dante Sexum up, Exum had a couple of points in 7 minutes as well. That's the Australian Player Watch today because, oh, well, and we've got jingles later, but yeah, good job by Greeny and Sexum. Mavs win it 4-2, an awesome, awesome, awesome display from the Mavs to run over them in the second half. Like that 35-23rd quarter and then just keeping them at arm's length the rest of the way was crucial to the Mavs' like confidence the rest of the way, right? Good job, Dallas. Sunday, the opening game of round two of the NBA playoffs. 106 Minnesota beat Denver in Denver, 99. What the hell was that? I mean,
what was that? What the hell was that?
That sound was Ant-Man turning into a super duper star. He was amazing. The Wolves took it to Denver in a way that Denver probably weren't expecting, especially in the second half. Minnesota shot 71%. They fucked Jamal Murray up in the first half, where he was scoreless, which was pretty gnarly, and outscored them 66-53 in the second half and never let Denver get into any offensive rhythm whatsoever. It felt like even with like Rudy Gobert out there and Jokic looks at him like I look at a tin. It's like, oh, nice. That's going to get deleted. And Jokic is like, look, I'm really fucking good. Check this out. And the rest of the Minnesota Timberwolves go, look, if Jokic can't pass it to somebody who's going to really hurt us, can we win this? And the answer is yes. This was tied at 84. And then Naz Reid just goes off. You have Ant-Man hitting his free throws and just doing everything to completely ruin Denver's lives. And they ripped off this 18-7 run to finish off the game. It was absolutely immense. This was like such a, yeah, we're fucking good and we're here. Like, it wasn't a fluke that we swept Phoenix. Ant-Man's out there swinging his giant old hog around going, yeah, I might be the best player in this series. And on the other side, there's like a presumptive 3-time MVP and NBA champion. That's how fucking good he was in this game. The thing is, I just want to pump the brakes just a little bit because it's one game for the defending champs who came into this one and went, ah, well, this is a little bit different to the Lakers. These guys seem to know what they're doing. Chris Finch is there with his bung knee, just screaming at dudes from the sidelines, but very clearly wanting to get up and like yell at the refs, yell at his players, but he can't because he just had surgery on his knee. It was awesome. But Ant-Man brought them home. Naz Reid had 10 straight points in the fourth quarter. He hit that three to put them back up with like 5 minutes to go. And that was the turning point. An amazing game from the Wolves. Like, Cat was sitting on the bench and they put him back in. And it's like, is that going to backfire and cost them the game? It didn't eventually. One of the random games where the losing team actually hit more threes than the other team. 13-31 from downtown for Denver. It's amazing they only managed 99 points. Jokic had 32 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. He shot 11 of 25 though, right? 11 of 25 for Nikola Jokic. He went 2 of 9 from downtown. They're like, that's fine. If we have to live with something, let it be Nikola Jokic shooting threes. That's a really, really good approach. Because like he's a very good three-point shooter. He doesn't want to be shooting that many of them though, right? The max threes Jokic wants to shoot is like 4. Maybe 5 if he's feeling it. He took 9. That is chaos. He went to the line 8 times. He took more threes than frees. Brutal. He had 7 turnovers as well. They really made Jokic work just with their size and their defensive nous. So that was more than anything. Michael Porter Jr. ended up with 20-6, 4 of 7 from downtown, MIA late. Jammin' Jamal Murray ends up with 17 all in the second half, obviously. 6 of 14 from the floor. The big one for me was obviously KCP. He just got worked by Ant-Man on one end and couldn't make him pay on the other. 2 of 4 from downtown. Air Gordon as well. Gone were the back cuts of the Lakers series. The spaced out defense of a Lakers team that had quit on their coach. And Aaron Gordon went 4 of 6 for 9 points, 6 assists. Christian Brown had 7 points. Reggie Jackson also got pants by Ant-Man and also only scored the 5 points for him. He had everybody up in arms, and so did Juzzy Holiday. Had the 3 points as well. That bench mob, they got their Denver crowd going, and Minnesota shut them up quite expertly by shooting 52.4% from the floor. Ant-Man had 43. He's going to pop up again in a second. Don't worry about that. He was pretty good. Like, really good. He had 43 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, shot 17 of 29 and 3-7 from 3. That's ridiculous against the defending champs and was awesome on the defensive end as well. Mike Conley, though, played a massive role in that third quarter, just hitting some shots when it was starting to, like, sort of get a bit wonky. He goes, 3 of 4 from downtown, 5 of 8 from the floor overall, 14 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. That's why you go get Mike Conley. Karl Anthony Towns had 20. Sure. Rudy Gobert had 13 rebounds and 3 blocks for 6 points. Jaden McDaniels went 0 of 7 from the floor. He had 8 rebounds. Luckily, Naz Reid went off. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Gave him a huge boost off the bench. Minnesota beat Denver in Denver. Huge win. Because, I don't know, Denver are pretty good at home, aren't they, Jim? Yes! What are they going home this year? Just a lazy 33-8. Pretty bloody good. And Minnesota lead the series. 1-0. And then finally today at 3 a.m. Why are you tired, Jim? Because I got up and watched this in the wee hours. God damn, your mate Jim's ruined. And Cleveland win.
Cleveland!
106-94. Oh, geez, Magic. They're up by 18. Then completely gave up the ghost. They're only up 10 at the half. And you're like, that's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. I'm just saying. It was brutal. Donny Mitchell couldn't hit a shot in the first half. Then went absolutely bananas in the second. Paolo Banchero controlled this game early and was like, cool, all right, guys, jump on board at any point. And the rest of the Magic went, nah, we're good. Paolo did this all by himself. Franz Wagner, hello. And Jalen Suggs were horrible and completely bottled it. Suggs, just every time they cut to him, he's like, oh, my leg hurts. I've hurt myself. I'm injured. Well, it's like, get off the fucking court then. Oh, I'm playing through it. Yeah, well, you can't hit a fucking shot, so you're not really helping much. They got it down to 10 at the half, did the Cavs. Struess woke up, and then you turn around, and you're like, oh, yeah, the Cavs are going to win this, aren't they? My sweet baby Caris LeVert was really good. But it was chaos, right? From midway through that second quarter to the end of the third quarter, Donny Mitchell outscored the Magic 20-19 by himself. I mean, it's not ideal because the Magic men managed 15 points in that third quarter.
Cleveland
had 33. That's how you lose a game 7. This was really tight, and it was a free throw grift down the stretch where it's just like, oh, look, it's a free throw competition again, which just sucks the fucking life out of a game. But Donny Mitchell goes for, 17 free throw attempts, 18 for Paolo Banchero, and it was just kind of cool to see two young dudes just fucking going hammering tongs in a game 7. But yeah, the Magic were up 47-29 with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, and the Cavs outscored them by 30 for the rest of the game. They held Orlando to 27% from that moment on, while they themselves shot 57%. Magic's defense went completely MIA. Jamal Mosley, coaching genius, was like, I don't think I can play Johnny Isaac. He's not hitting many shots. Meanwhile, Franz Wagner, hello, is like, hey, guess what? I'm going to go 1 of 15. It was weird. Like, say what you want about Johnny Isaac, played 18 minutes, it just feels really dumb. Yes, he can't do much on offense, but I think at that point you just go, fuck it. Like, Franz just does not have it today. And Franz has those games where he's just like, yeah, I'm just useless. Like, Mo Wagner is more likely to get him going at that point. And then I've been banging on about this for time after time after time, but the Magic not having an actual fucking point guard. It seems like a problem in a game like this. Oh, we've got Markel Fultz and Cole Anthony. Yeah, two guards that have giant fucking holes in their game. What I did appreciate the Magic, though, was the headband lineup. And I'm pretty sure Franz Wagner had a shit game because when you're out there with Paolo, Suggs, Wendell, and Gary Harris, etc., everybody else in headbands, and Franz is like, I don't wear a headband. It's like, I feel like you should be wearing a headband. You're letting the team down, mate. You're letting the team down. Anyway, 8 minutes for Fultz. don't know what that was about. Cole had 8 points, fine. Mo Wagner played 12 minutes. It's like, this is a lot of dudes that you're playing. Just, this is the Jamal Mosley throwing shit against the wall to hope something sticks. Jingles got out there for 6 minutes. Maybe his last ever NBA game. We'll talk about that later. 0-1 from 3, 2 rebounds and assist. Tough one from the Magic. We knew their offense would just hit a wall at some point because it has all season, and it did today. 10 of 31 from downtown, 17 turnovers. Cavs, again, less made threes and actually won still because Donnie Mitchell had 39, 9, and 5. Shot 11 of 27, 2 of 8 from 3, 15 to 17 the line. Maxi Strus had 13 points, hit a bunch of threes in that third quarter, gave him a big old boost. And they went, aha, I think the Cavs are going to win this. Garland shot 3 of 13, but hit a massive 3 late, like on a second chance, where it's like, I'm just going to take the exact same shot again on the same possession after they got the offensive board, and he nailed it, and that was the dagger. 12 points, 4 assists, 3 steals for him. Mobley! Like, the stats aren't going to jump off the paper. Like, 11 points, 16 rebounds, 5 blocks. It's pretty bloody good. 5-8 from the floor. Had a couple of weird boneheaded moments, but just has these like games like this where you're just like, he is so impactful in defense that the Magic men didn't know what to do. Okoro at 8 points. My sweet baby had 15 as well. 5 rebounds and 4 assists. And Sam Merrill hit a couple of threes. The people's champ. Love to see that. Cleveland win through to the second round for the first time since LeBron left, but also for the first time since 1993. Have they made the second round with a LeBron-less team? That is crazy. It was also the biggest comeback in a Game 7 since at least 1997. 18 points down in a Game 7. That usually means you're done, Skish. It did not today. Cleveland! Are through to play Boston. All right, let's do an NBA Australia Pro Performer of the Night, shall we?
That's not a night. That's a knife.
Ah, Donnie Mitchell, that was a knife. What an awesome second half. But we're going to give this to Ant-Man. Look, the 39 for Donnie Mitchell, the kill shot late, just being able to go to like a superstar scorer in a game 7, the same as the Magic were. They were just like, oh, we'll just give it to Paolo. It was just amazing that the Magic's supporting cast completely fell apart. The Cavs kind of tried their hardest to also fall apart. Darius Garland, I'm looking at you with your 12 points on 13 shots. But at least he hit 3 shots. Franz hit 1. And Suggs hit 2. 3 is more than that combined. Just saying. Anyway, good job by Donnie Mitchell carrying that team to the second round because before the game, they're like, where will Donnie Mitchell end up? It's like, there's a game 7 about to happen. Where could he end up? In the fucking second round of the playoffs with his current team, you dickholes. Jesus. I'm going to talk about this again later. Anyway, Ant-Man wins the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Weekend because he just beat the reigning champs. Dropped 43 points, shot 17 of 29, and completely asserted himself as one of the best players in the NBA at the same time. He went, hey, check this out. Remember Michael Jordan? Yeah, he was pretty good. Remember Dwayne Wade? Yeah, not bad as well. Remember Jimmy Butler? Yeah, look, if you combine all of them, it's me. He's awesome. 25 points in the first half was probably the more important part because he scored them in the first half just as everything was slipping away. And no one else in Minnesota was doing fucking anything, which is why it was so important that Mike Conley was that big in the third quarter and Naz Reid was so big in the fourth quarter. Ant-Man had laid the foundation, right? 25 points. No fooling. But the way that he stared down Reggie Jackson and got a T for it, which I'll talk about in a second, it was amazing. That dude is special. He can do it all. The sort of turnaround fadeaway jumpers, the hitting the threes, driving through, hitting shit from all sorts of different angles. Ant-Man is a legit bona fide super duper star. I love it. What's his Australian comp? Shane Hill, fellow Timberwolf. All right, who is Spud of the Night?
Spud of the Night.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but 3 of 28 shooting is pretty bloody bad. That's right, because Franz Wagner, hello, and Jalen Suggs combined to shoot 3 of 28. That is absolutely remarkable. 2 of 15 from downtown. 2 of 15. Franz Wagner and Suggs, they sugged a whole big fat one today because it was absolutely loss horrible. Like, Johnny Isaac should just put him in jail. Just go, that's it. We're done here. Simple as that. 3 of 28. Like, it's just, you need just that one more dude who can just get, like, this. They were missing, obviously, a lead ball handler, but also the one guy who can just go, all right, I'm just going to go completely on fuego here. It's not Gary Harris. Cole Anthony is a little bit too small, I think, and he just doesn't quite have that sort of aspect where he's like, hey, check it out. I'm going to do a Malik Monk impersonation. But absolutely brutal gear from Franz and Suggs. And of course, as I mentioned, Jaden McDaniels went 0 of 7. Not great. Not ideal. But they still won. Who's old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Darvin Ham. Because remember how he traded for Russell Westbrook? And when that failed, turned Westbrook into not Mike Conley and Nicky Alexander-Walker? Oh, no, wait. That was the Lakers front office. Oh, the same Lakers front office in, like, Brains Trust that has now gone through 6 coaches in 13 years. Remember how they were like, no, D'Lo and Vanderbilt, that's where we'll be able to win. They didn't bring back Caruso. They didn't bring back KCP. The fact that they had D'Lo on that team, guess what you're going to do with D'Lo? Never win a thing. Poor Darvin Ham. He got his ass kicked on the way out. Absolutely brutal gear. Definitely old mate, no mates. Remember how he drafted Jordan Hood-Schifino over Jaime Jaquez and also went out there and signed like Christian Wood and Cam Reddish and Gabe Vincent and Mo Bamba? Yeah. Remember how Darvin... Oh, that's right. Darvin Ham didn't do any of that. But either way, still all his own fault. I am enjoying the Chris Finch, Micah Norai, the assistant Minnesota coach right now. They're just going back and forth. Mike was asked, I mean, all the plays that we scored on were my calls and the ones that we didn't were his, how it works, basically, which is pretty funny. And Finchie was like, yeah, we're very much on the same wavelength. We share a brain. If you know Micah, it's not the type of brain you want to share with most people, but we are very much in sync. I love a good coaching, like, just bromance. That's cool. I love that. That's just guys being dudes. Just shit-talking your mates. That's fucking beautiful. That's a thing of absolute beauty. All right, who got pantsed? Ant-Man put Reggie Jackson in the spin cycle. It's like he glitched on the perimeter, sized up Reggie Jackson, went, I'm just going to go around you, sucked in behind his back. Magically, he's at the fucking rim laying it in and then just looks at Reggie Jackson. And here we go. What are you doing, refs? Why does he looked at the dude. Oh, it's a threatening look. What the fuck are you on about? Can you imagine? So old mate would be like tuning in going, why'd he get a tech? So, he stared at him. And old mate would rightly respond, are you fucking serious? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I would say, yes, you should listen to NBA Australia sometimes. This is one of my soapbox ideas. Fine the fucking refs. Because it got rescinded, rightly so, because that ref was a fucking moron. Adam Silver, yes, Jimmy, rein in your refs, you idiot. Okay, but I don't know. They love having so much power. Yeah, that's the problem. This, like, just think about this as the NBA is a product, right? The NBA is a product. If someone like old mate's tuning in, watching a bit of the playoffs, is then like, oh, how good is this? This is a really good game between two amazing Western Conference folks. Wait, did he just get a tech for staring at that dude? Mickey Mouse bullshit. Anyway, who is better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. We'll just give that to Donnie Mitchell because remember, draft, Donnie Mitchell, Lonzo Ball, better than. 11 of 27, 2 of 8 from 3. Not exactly knocking down the doors with the efficiency, but when he's your go-to scorer, just the sheer confidence you got to have, right? 39, 9 and 5, awesome game. Only one turnover, 17 free throw attempts, made 15 of them. That was awesome. And of course, it's better than any of Lonzo Ball's career playoff stats because never made it. All right, everyone's favorite moment of every show. It's the magic tweet of the day. I I took Commanders star receiver Terry McLaurin for lunch today in Los Angeles to talk about the Commanders, life after football, and his entrepreneurial aspirations. Thanks, Magic. Noted, what Magic has not tweeted about is Darvin Ham. That's a tough one. I still, like, my favorite thing is, like, if they hadn't lost too many games because of load management. It's still great. There was a very good one, though, that we had the other day after I did the Magic Tweet of the Day on the on Friday's show about the, it was injuries that plagued the Lakers season, not load management. But then we have an awesome one, which is always good for old heads like me. Here we go. Happy birthday to my good friend, two-time NBA champion and Hall of Famer, Isaiah Thomas. Party popper emoji. Thanks, Magic, because it is actually very cool. There's a picture of them there at the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Awards, and also a picture of them a million years ago in their tuxes, looking awesome when they were young and carefree. Remember Isaiah Thomas, like, you know, flipped his lid about Magic? Magic is just the nicest dude in the world that he's just like, ah, it's fine. I'm a cool guy. All right, and finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
It's the ref. The ref who teed up Ant-Man for looking at Reggie Jackson. Come the fuck on, man. Grow a pair. Grow a pair. Anthony Edwards being teed up was just absolutely stupid, and you hate every second of it, right? So the fact that Reggie Miller blew his lid at that as well, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm agreeing with Reggie Miller. This sucks. My thing is, Draymond Green carries on like a complete pork chop, yelling, screaming, waving his arms, completely showing up, the opposition and the refs, when he's not kicking dudes in the dick or like choking out and trying to stomp through the chest of like giant Europeans. And it's fine, apparently. Tell me, if you are, well, you can't show up your opponent. You're showing up the fucking refs, Draymond, at every single opportunity. Tell me what's worse for the youth who might be watching on. To act like fucking Draymond or to have an awesome move and then look at the opponent like Ant-Man did. Of course, it's the Draymond dumb fuckery. Are you fucking serious? Every goddamn time. When a tech gets rescinded, fine the fucking refs. Are you serious, NBA? That was horrible. All right, let's do some yenars after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, now is brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Debo!
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials where the pretty pictures are. Help your mate Jim out. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug. Go nuts. Right, let's do some yeah, nahs. Hey, can Orlando make the Eastern Conference Finals if they get Malcolm Brogdon? Yeah, nah, yeah. What you'll see is plenty of names thrown out there for this Orlando team. I still, and the next one is, do you keep Franz? Yeah, nah, yes. You got to keep Franz. I think he's super talented. I think he gives you at least one other sort of ball, I don't know, mover, scorer, distributor, shooter. Idealized Franz Wagner is very fucking good. I think you try to keep that dude. Paolo, Wendell, sucks. Johnny Isaac, maybe. Everything else is, like, completely up for fucking grabs in my brain. But if you get someone like, oh, they're like, oh, get Chris Paul. It's like, sure. Get Paul George. Don't know if you need Paul George. Probably. He helps that team a bit. But it's the more, like, it's someone more like Malcolm Brogdon that you're kind of like, all right, a guy, of, you know, savvy veteran point guard who can just set your shit up, teach your young dudes a little bit. You can play him next to Suggs. He's got enough size. Yeah, look, health is always going to be a fucking issue when it comes to Malcolm Brogdon. But at the same time, like, I feel like he's got a little bit more to give than Chris Paul. Same time, when Chris Paul goes to a young team and then fucks off again, that young team gets really good. Phoenix, maybe not so much this year, but OKC, you know, stuff like that. But Malcolm Brogdon would be my sort of like cheapy veteran point guard that you could maybe go pilfer, unless you want to like fucking swing for the fences and try to steal Darius Rucker, Judy Garland or something from the Cavs. It gets pretty like Spencer Dinwiddie, like the just gross, right? Russell Westbrook, no. Trae Young is the big one that you'll hear bandied around as well. It's like, yeah, the thing is, how much success has Trae Young had? But he's never had like teammates as good as Paolo or defensively minded as Suggs next to him. Maybe that could be the kind of thing. I just feel like that's a really magic-y kind of vibe that backfires. Are the Cavs any shot against Boston? Yeah, nah. I think if Mobley had sort of shown us a little bit more of his KG light vibes, he was pretty good in that game 7. But the way that they fell apart on the road just really, really worries me. Look, I know that the Magic are very good at home, but geez, there's a little team called Boston who were pretty bloody good at home this year too. So, kind of feels like Cavs are right up against it. I think it's 4-1 Celtics. I think, look, I'll give Cleveland one of the games just because they do have a bit of size. I'll have like one. I think it'll be a gentleman's sweep and, yeah, they'll win game 4 at home. So give me Boston 4-1 in that series. Poor one after the Cavs. Dallas OKC. Could this be the very best playoff series we have, Jim? Yeah, nah, because I think that's going to be Denver, Minnesota. We've already seen that. It's fucking gnarly. But Denver OKC could be absolute champagne basketball. I brought the champagne. Exciting times. I can't wait for this series to start. Same with Indy. This Reggie Miller Spike Lee Bowl as a series. I love this. Indy versus the Knicks. Let's go. Because that's going to be really fun. I think the Knicks, the way they dismantled the Sixers over the course of that series and the games that they did win, of course, they only won the series by 1 point, remember. The Pacers are a weird challenge because they're offense. The Knicks will probably stop them 4 times, but it might take them 7 games to do that. I feel like this could be an awesome series. I'm going to say the Knicks in 7 for that. And then do we see Denver bounce back in game 2? Yeah, I think we do. I think Denver bounced back in a big, big, big way tomorrow just to assert themselves at home. The thing is, would it be a giant surprise if Minnesota kept on rolling? Yeah, nah. They've won 5 playoff games on the trot. Ant-Man looks like the second coming of Michael Jordan. And there are these points in NBA history where you just go, oh, shit. Okay, so they're just here now. Fuck. That's going to be a problem. Minnesota might be that. They've got the steady veteran point guard. They've got the 2 big men in Kat and Rudy. They've got Jaden McDaniels. They've got Nick Alexander Walker. And of course, they've got a fully armed and operational Ant-Man. Sometimes you just sort of hit a point and go, oh shit, they've also got the 6th man of the year, Naz fucking Reed, right? That's your 7 dudes. You're feeling pretty bloody good about that if you're the Wolves. But Denver are really fucking tough. So you're going to have to kill them straight dead to get by and actually have a crack at this. Either way, it's amazing. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
You know me. I love the transactional nature of the NBA. What I don't like is when we've got a game fucking 7 and it's like, oh, where do you think Donovan Mitchell's going to be on his next team? Well, how about his current team? How does he help them win game 7 that's about to start? Seriously, you've got a panel sitting there debating where he'd be awesome. And so it seems like he's being pretty bloody good where he is because they're about to play a game fucking 7. Can we talk about how Donnie Mitchell's game translates to his current team and has them in this position? He dropped fucking 50 in game 6. It's like, oh, does he fit next to Jalen Brunson on the Knicks? Who fucking cares? They're about to play the Magic in a game 7. How about just go, right, this is what Donnie Mitchell does. Any other prospective team that might be trying to trade for him in the offseason is getting the dude that's about to do this in the game 7. This is what makes him awesome. How does he get awesome? How is he this fucking good? That's what I want to see. It's the dumbest fucking thing in the world. Sometimes. like this fucking weird just obsession. It's like, yeah, what is he? If he gets traded this offseason, will it be to get his team to a game seven? Like the one he's currently in? Like, it's like this weird sort of obsession about talking about in the future at the expense of the present. And I don't know. It's weird. Because, I don't know, since, oh, here we go, hashtag dadstraya, since having kids, what I fucking hate is, like, oh, geez, they just grow up so fast. Not if you pay attention. Like, just enjoying the fucking moment and just, like, hanging out. Just like, this is fun. It's like, oh, well, geez, they just remember when they were small. Yeah, but I fucking remember, like, now, because this is fun as hell. Just be a bit present. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Ah, a bit of sentimentality there, Jim. What about Outback Takeouts, though? It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means. Oh, yeah, took the squids to daycare and school this morning. Found a dead possum by the side of the road, scooped it up, chucked it under the pram, brought it home, chucked it over the barbie, boom, slow roasted possum. Only at Outback. It's a flame grilled take today. Okay, see, a rope-a-doping everyone are thinking that they're just happy to be here. Meanwhile, they just fucking swept the Pelicans, watched them sweep Dallas and make the finals. Only at Outback. This one crossed my mind because it's like, Dallas, look, we know that the way that the commentators were like, oh, gee, Dallas have built their entire identity around defense since the trades. It's like, they have. But the consistent lack of defense is also what fucking shoots them in the foot. OKC could run roughshod over the top of them. We wouldn't even fucking notice them because OKC played, it feels like about 8.5 weeks ago in dispatching the Pelicans. Dallas have like this explosive offensive upside. But if there's anyone else who can also fucking match them shot for shot and also lock them down on the perimeter a little bit, it's the, I don't know, the team that has the Dortchett chamber and Jalen Williams on the perimeter to try to slow down Luka and Kyrie, along with SGA, along with a dude like Josh Giddey with a bit of fucking size. Like, Gafford and Lively up against Chet is a sort of weird sort of combo. But goddamn, OKC, they're just sort of doing the, oh, jeez, don't think about us, it's fine. They're the one seed for a fucking reason, you know? They're awesome. Check them out. Just saying. I'd be looking at that OKC sweep price if I was looking at it, but I still think they win that series over Dallas. But goddamn, I'm yet to make a pick on that because we've actually, that doesn't start until our Wednesday. So when we get to the game previews and stuff, I'll do Cleveland and Boston and Dallas OKC series previews tomorrow. We'll get to the Indy New York one in a second. Let's do the NBA Australia approved performance. The NBA Australia player, wait, no, the Australian player watch is what I'm trying to say right after this.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. We're going to farewell the jingling one. Jingle Joe Ingles. Jingling Joe Ingles is out of the playoffs, leaving us with only three remaining Aussies and Giddey and the Dallas guys. Annoyingly, they are going up against each other, but it does mean we get a lot of Aussies all at once. But Jingles in his final game for this season and what could possibly be his final game in the NBA. 6 minutes, 0-1 from the floor. That was a three, but he had two rebounds and one assist. He was a plus six in a game that they lost by 12. Just saying, it was also really nice to see him after the game having a nice little cuddle with Donny Mitchell, wasn't it? Yeah. And then on the weekend, I already mentioned Josh Greeny-Green and Dante Sexsmup-Exum. Greeny, 7 points, four rebounds, one assist, 3 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 3 from downtown. Very, very handy game for Greeny. And Sexsmup-Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, played 7 minutes. He had 2 points, 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 1 from downtown, 1 rebound, 1 assist. They're going to be interesting and crucial to the Mavs' efforts, right? Without Maxi Kleber, this, without Tim Hardaway, just give me some more Green and Exum. Simple as that. All right, what about no? Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, because a bit of excellence right here, I'll tell you.
Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba.
Bum, 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 bum. Let's do it. Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. So Donny Mitchell, I mentioned he had 50 points in Game 6. He had 39 points today. That is 89 points over the final two games of a playoff series. That is the second most in NBA history by a single point behind Allen Iverson in 2021. He scored 90 points. That is awesome. That's a lot of points. 89 across two in games 6 and 7 when it's absolutely balls in the line gear. Also, Anthony Edwards, he joined Kobe as the only players with consecutive 40-point games age 22 or younger in NBA history. Kobe didn't know one. Ant-Man just did it right then. It's pretty good, Jim.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Let's do the Patty Mills Game Day, Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Got a bit of Patty here. There we go. Baller Pat, Maxim Mag, hanging out with the Misso on the red carpet for the Maxim, something to do with the Grand Prix. Cool. There we go. Coinbase. They're just hanging out in Miami. Casadona, looking good. Coinbase. Lots of photos there. There's a picture of the Misso. Good on you, Patty. Just out there repping. And then he's getting some takeaway. I fucking love Patty Mills. I just want to see Patty and Jingles one more year in the NBA. Both of them together on the Spurs. Come on, get the Boomer boys together. Right, let's do, before we do the game previews for tomorrow, let's do a series preview. Preview. Indy, New York. Fascinating setup because Indy's offense, absolutely fantastic. And we obviously know that the defense of the Tom Thibodeau Knicks is also pretty bloody good. So it makes for a very good matchup in styles, doesn't it, Jim?
Yes.
Because the Pacers average 123.3 points a game. This season, that's a lot. In fact, the most in the NBA. The Knickerbockers allowed only 108.2 points. Again, that is the best in the East. And second best in the NBA behind the T-Wolves. So, you've got a really good defense up against a really, really, really good offense. Who wins? As I sort of said, I think the MSG crowd is going to be absolutely raucous. And I think the biggest, toughest part for Indy to get by the Knicks is that they don't really rely on something like a Joel Embiid, as the Sixers were able to, or a Tyrese Maxey to do their damage. They've got Halliburton, Tyrese. They've got a different Tyrese. They've got Halliburton. They've got Siakam. Siakam, it's not an easy matchup, but it's going up against his old mucker from the Toronto Raptors days in OG Anunoby. Probably the most perfect idealized version of someone to guard Pascal Siakam. Just saying. And then on the other end, you've got Brunson. You've got Dom DiVincenzo and Josh Hart to make Tyrese Halliburton's life of just living misery. And so I think that the Knicks defense can really sort of slow down this Indy offense over the course of a 7-game series pretty easily. And I know that I'm like, oh, they might be able to outscore the Knicks in 3 of the 7 games. I don't think it even goes that far. I think we get to 6 maximum. I'm going to take the Knicks to win it just because I think Indy's defense and their lack thereof. Like, you've got Miles Turner in the middle, but you've got Isaiah Hartenstein, yeah, and the other Mitch Robinson. Like, you know, Tibbs is just going to throw the absolute phone book at this Pacers team. It's going to be awesome. I think we get 6 games. I think the Knicks win it in 6. So we're going to go Knicks 4-2. And we start with game 1 tomorrow. The Knickerbockers of New York City are 5.5-point favorites. Sort of a weird one just because of the way that these two teams have sort of gone against each other this year. You sort of look at it and you go, well, geez, I mean, Indy versus the Knicks, Jim. It's like the Reggie Miller, Spike Lee bowl. And it is. And they play such wildly disparate styles. But in the regular season, we saw a 140-126 game, a 109-105 game, and a 125-111 game. The Pacers won 2 of the 3 games. They scored 140 and 125 in the games that they won. I just don't think they'll be able to do that in the playoffs. And I think in game 1, at home, the Knicks, which I believe is where they won their game, right? They were 27-14 at home this year, 21-20 for the Pacers away. I think I like the Knicks a lot here. So we're going to go the Knicks -5.5 over the Pacers in game 1. Then we have Minnesota-Denver game 2. Again, it's a 5.5-point line, same as the Pacers and the Knicks. This one sits a little bit weirder. I want to go the Wolves, but what I think we might see happen is, can this Minnesota offense just keep up the pace? I think Ant-Man might just have like one of those games where he's like, Jim, yeah, I'm going to do it again. Check this out. And he just drops one on our head and keeps them close. I think Denver win the game, but Minnesota cover the plus 5.5. And we get an absolute classic. This series could be awesome. I think Denver win it by 4. And there we go. Those are the games tomorrow. We'll talk about Cleveland and Boston and Dallas OKC tomorrow. But how good is round 2 of the playoffs? This is the best stuff. You've got quality teams all the time. I'm excited. You should be as well. Let's bloody go. 4 really good series remaining in the NBA. But that's it. We'll be back on deck tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia across all the socials, of course. Twitter, Face, IG, TikTok now as well. We'll be doing Jim's morning drop-off picks on IG and TikTok, Facey as well. Just in case there's any sort of movement on the lines and any other injury news, I'll do a last-minute pick for each of the games each day. Good times. It is pretty fun, actually. Trying to, edit that on the walk. Not running to stuff with the squids. Get around the AFL Today show. You might have seen the reel from last night on IG and Facey just in the studio before we did the AFL show. It was just Alex and I last night. It was very fun. Go check that out across all the socials as well. Get around NFL Australia with me and Gaz. We've got the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, and Hold All Tickets as well. It's all there. Check a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You can watch this show as well. Don't forget, go subscribe and like and star and all that sort of stuff. Comment on all the shows. It does help out, so please get around it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. I was trying to say it all too fast. Get some merch. And big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua Delarita's Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Section Eye, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. We'll close out today with a really quick deli review, no spoilers, of Shogun. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old man Deli over here just swinging by for my latest pop culture review, eh? I've got to tell you. So, that show that the missile was making me watch, Shogun's, bloody good. It's just sick, eh? So, look, I spent most of this last weekend, went to the footy, watched the Pies, smashed the Blues. How good was that? Nick Dacos, you star, is now my best mate, I reckon. So, it's just like, a long line of Collingwood greats, me and Pendle's best mates. Now Moonique Dacos, best mates. It's bloody sick, man. Anyway, it's also pretty fun sort of watching all the NBA playoffs and shit like that. But, the missile, we get the squid to bed. It's like, all right, now we're going to watch. And she was like, that Shogun Tally show. I'm like, I'm just sick of reading. It just hurts my brain. It's just so much reading. Anyway, but like halfway through the series, I'm like, let's fucking keep going. This is fucking awesome, man. And I've been watching it, and got to the end, I'm like, Anjin son, bro. I'm like calling the miso, like Mariko and all this sort of shit. I'm like, let's move to Japan, man. Like, this is fucking, I'm like, on the blower to my best mate, Nick K. He's going, what's it like in Japan, bro? And he's like, nah, man, it's fucking awesome, yeah. You should come over. And I'm like, fucking, maybe I will. Like, how's it all, set up with the NBL and shit? Anyway, the tally show at South Shogun's is fucking awesome. So, look, if you don't mind reading, and even if I do, it's still good as. It's at least 30 out of 10 deli ones. That's how good it is. Japan fucking rules. And Jin-san, he's funny as fuck. He's like, hello, I'm fucking English as shit, bro. Give me my guns. It's just like, I don't know what's happening, but this is fucking rad. Anyway, go check it out. Shogun's, it rules. And that'll do us for this week. Until next time, later fuckos, deli out.